Good morning, it's 8 a.m. I'm Travis Bubinick, and this is news for the Western Slope, July 5th. The West Fork Fire Complex has grown to over 110,000 acres, following what fire officials describe as a mushroom cloud of growth that added nearly 11,000 acres to the flames on Wednesday. Though the West Fork Complex remains 20% contained, the Denver Post reports beetle-killed timber on the south end of the Papoose Fire fueled Wednesday's new growth. The fire reportedly burned through a sulfur pit mine, a potentially hazardous situation because of the dangerous sulfur fumes, but thankfully nobody was in the area. Bobby Kitchens, information officer for the Type 1 Incident Management Team, said firefighting progress isn't measured by containment, saying crews are still primarily focused on protecting certain points rather than creating a perimeter around the fire. Areas along the northern and eastern edges of the Papoose Fire remained under evacuation, as well as those in the Humphreys Lake region west of West Fork. Subdivisions north and east of West Fork Fire have been put under pre-evacuation notice, along with some areas along the northeastern edge of the Papoose Fire. The growth potential for the entire West Fork complex remains extreme, while a 30 to 40% chance of thunderstorms is predicted throughout the weekend. Smoke and ash have been observed near Pagosa Springs. And the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel reports that murdered 49-year-old woman whose body was found outside Colorado National Monument has been reported missing to Mesa County authorities. The Mesa County Sheriff's Department wouldn't say who had reported her missing or when, saying those details are part of the ongoing investigation into her death. Kathy Fortner of Grand Junction apparently died from a blunt force impact to the head, according to the Mesa County Coroner's Office. According to the Sentinel, authorities declined to answer a string of questions, citing the ongoing investigation. Fortner, who had been living in Grand Junction less than a year, was discovered by a group of tourists near the west entrance of the Colorado National Monument on Tuesday. No suspects have been named in the case as of Wednesday. Investigators are hopeful video footage from around the monument will provide some leads. Anyone who might have seen suspicious activity near the west entrance of the monument the night of July 1st is asked to call 244-3267. The Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment reported the state's first case of West Nile virus on Wednesday, first human case, that is, saying the virus is currently traveling among mosquitoes across the state. A statement released by the department said a Delta area resident fell sick 11 days after reporting numerous mosquito bites. The patient reportedly developed West Nile fever, a less severe form of the disease, and recovered after a brief hospital visit. John Pape, in charge of West Nile surveillance for the state, said most people affected with the virus develop a mild illness and usually recover. Still, how the disease affects any one person is variable, and Pape recommends avoiding mosquitoes as a general precaution. Pools of mosquitoes have tested positive for the virus in Mesa, Pueblo, Adams, Boulder, Larimer, and Weld counties. Last year, 131 cases and 5 deaths from West Nile were reported. The Denver Post reports Colorado homeowners associations will soon face tougher standards on debt collecting and manager licensing after new legislation passed this year. The new law requires all homeowners associations to detail basic information for homeowners and must also offer delinquent homeowners a 6-month payment plan option. The law will also require managing company CEOs, executives, and community association managers to obtain a state license by July 1st of 2015. According to the Post, the legislation was prompted in part by a large number of complaints about homeowners associations, 754 of which were received by the state this year. Gary Kujawski is the state's homeowners association information officer and says complaints have risen since the state created his position, now that concerned homeowners have somewhere to take those complaints. The Post also reports that Colorado's moose population has grown 35% in the last 2 years, bringing the total population to around 2,300. The population growth stems from a dozen moose transplanted to Colorado's high country in 1978, after which the moose began to migrate across mountains into South Park and foothills west of Denver. According to the Post, the surge in population has wildlife managers dumbfounded. Populations in Minnesota, Wyoming, and Montana continue to fall dramatically. Colorado Parks and Wildlife Manager Andy Holland attributed the growth in Colorado to unbrowsed and available habitat, while some worry that the larger population could lead to conflicts with humans. Meanwhile, demand for moose hunting licenses remains higher than any other big game animal in the state. Conversely, state managers in Minnesota canceled the 2013 moose hunting season due to the declining populations. Colorado's high country has a low level of moose predators as well, which could be helping the population growth. According to Colorado wildlife biologists, only a few cases of black bear or mountain lions attacking moose have been reported. Parks and wildlife officials are launching a study to figure out what an overpopulation of moose would look like, and to what extent moose and humans can coexist as moose begin to move closer to communities. Researchers are also studying how well moose can survive in drought conditions. The Post reports a record number of hunters applied for moose licenses this year, while the number of moose killed increased as well. This year, the state will grant 228 hunting licenses, up from 219 last year. And the 67th annual Paonia Cherry Days celebration finishes up today, with a children's fair, rock climbing wall, cakewalk, and more arts and crafts booths. A bull riding challenge takes place at 7 p.m. and live music continues from noon until 11 p.m. at the Pure Paonia Cafe and Garden. And a teen dance closes out the night from 8 to 11 p.m. at the gazebo stage. This has been news for the Western Slope here on KVNF Mountain Grown Community Radio. I'm Travis Bubinick.